Part 2. You'll hear an interview on a train with two friends, Jane and Chris, chefs who both won prizes in the National Railway Chef of the Year competition. Choose the correct answer, A, B, C or D. You'll hear the recording twice.
Serving more than 200,000 meals a year would be a challenge for any chef. But step-up constraints of time, space, and a demand for culinary excellence, and you have the life of a railway chef. Chris and Jane, the idea of having to cook in cramped surroundings with limited ingredients and a very tight schedule, as you did in the recent competition, must have been a terrifying prospect.
Well, hardly. I actually operate under those restrictions every day.
That's true. Of course, we both do. But there's always the added danger that things can go wrong. And the challenge of preparing a top-quality three-course meal for four, which costs no more than £50, and in front of all those judges.
Well, Jane, you were a runner-up and Chris came first. I gather you faced some stiff competition from the other finalists.
No doubt about that. All the chefs who entered the competition were brilliant in their own way, but someone has to win. But the real problem is trying to be creative as the train hurtles through the countryside at over 100 miles an hour. There's little room for mistakes, and you have to be able to keep your balance.
Actually, I'd only been a railway chef for 3 months, and I can tell you that life on board is no easy ride. There's no nipping out to get the extra bunch of parsley or a lemon.
But you're used to working under pressure all the same, aren't you? How do you set about being organised?
You've just got to make sure you're focused on the job. Being able to keep an eye on a dozen things at once is also an advantage.
But do you actually enjoy what you're doing?
There's plenty of scope to express yourself as a chef in the job, and the open kitchen means that customers will often compliment you personally on the food. That's one of the biggest highlights of the job.
I'd certainly go along with that. Very few restaurant chefs have the chance to experience that.
And what about the menus? Who decides what to cook?
They're decided in advance for the whole railway network by two extremely famous chefs, who are actually brothers. I suppose we both find it restricting.
I do get a bit frustrated from time to time, think I could be a little more adventurous. But it's all a question of adaptability, which I suspect Jane is better at than I am.
Not at all. I can be quite inflexible when the mood takes me.
So, what would be a typical routine for you both?
You have to start at around 5:30 in the morning, check that all the ingredients have been delivered. Then it's a mad rush to get everything ready.
And precious little time to rest any other time during the day, as you often have to set tables on other trains and help other staff. Timing's particularly tight, you see. In other restaurants, orders come in and go out over 2 or 3 hours, but we have to turn round before the passengers reach their stations. It's all a bit nerve-wracking.
So what motivated you to do this in the first place?
I've been on the move ever since I left college, so when I got engaged, I decided it was time to settle down. So when I saw this job, it seemed a reasonable compromise between personal commitments and my reluctance to stay in one place.
For me, it was something that just caught my eye, not just ordinary run-of-the-mill stuff. And if you get the time, you get a good view out of the windows.
And how do you stop things from spilling over when the train moves?
It's not a problem for me. I was a chef on a liner, so I've got plenty of experience of cookery in motion.
Yeah, but I think it helps if you only half fill saucepans with boiling water. Even so, they often spill over and you start saying nasty things to yourself about the driver, and it's not usually his fault. Yeah.
Let's just say that you quickly learn not to put things under the grill without keeping an eye on them.
Has either of you had any major disasters?
Well, I'd only been in the job for 3 days and I had this huge roast in the oven. I opened the door, turned around for a moment, distracted, I suppose, and it just flew out. Fortunately, it landed in the sink, so it was okay.
And what qualities would you say it was necessary for a railway chef to have?
From my point of view, dedication and determination. You won't get anywhere without these.
And let's admit it, a sense of humour. There have been times when I would have resigned long ago if I hadn't had that.
And what of the future?
Who knows? Perhaps the first chef on a trip to the moon?
Now that would be a challenge, but somehow I doubt I'll be with you on that one. I'm terrified of flying.
Well now, if you don't mind, we thought our listeners might be interested in the recipes for your prize-winning meals.
Now you'll hear the recording again.
Serving more than 200,000 meals a year would be a challenge for any chef. But step-up constraints of time, space, and a demand for culinary excellence, and you have the life of a railway chef. Chris and Jane, the idea of having to cook in cramped surroundings with limited ingredients and a very tight schedule, as you did in the recent competition, must have been a terrifying prospect.
Well, hardly. I actually operate under those restrictions every day.
That's true. Of course, we both do. But there's always the added danger that things can go wrong. And the challenge of preparing a top-quality three-course meal for four, which costs no more than £50, and in front of all those judges.
Well, Jane, you were a runner-up and Chris came first. I gather you faced some stiff competition from the other finalists.
No doubt about that. All the chefs who entered the competition were brilliant in their own way, but someone has to win. But the real problem is trying to be creative as the train hurtles through the countryside at over 100 miles an hour. There's little room for mistakes, and you have to be able to keep your balance.
Actually, I'd only been a railway chef for 3 months, and I can tell you that life on board is no easy ride. There's no nipping out to get the extra bunch of parsley or a lemon.
But you're used to working under pressure all the same, aren't you? How do you set about being organised?
You've just got to make sure you're focused on the job. Being able to keep an eye on a dozen things at once is also an advantage.
But do you actually enjoy what you're doing?
Well, there's plenty of scope to express yourself as a chef in the job, and the open kitchen means that customers will often compliment you personally on the food. That's one of the biggest highlights of the job.
I'd certainly go along with that. Very few restaurant chefs have the chance to experience that.
And what about the menus? Who decides what to cook?
They're decided in advance for the whole railway network by two extremely famous chefs, who are actually brothers. I suppose we both find it restricting.
I do get a bit frustrated from time to time, think I could be a little more adventurous. But it's all a question of adaptability, which I suspect Jane is better at than I am.
Not at all. I can be quite inflexible when the mood takes me.
So, what would be a typical routine for you both?
You have to start at around 5:30 in the morning, check that all the ingredients have been delivered. Then it's a mad rush to get everything ready.
And precious little time to rest any other time during the day, as you often have to set tables on other trains and help other staff. Timing's particularly tight, you see. In other restaurants, orders come in and go out over 2 or 3 hours, but we have to turn round before the passengers reach their stations. It's all a bit nerve-wracking.
So what motivated you to do this in the first place?
I've been on the move ever since I left college, so when I got engaged, I decided it was time to settle down. So when I saw this job, it seemed a reasonable compromise between personal commitments and my reluctance to stay in one place.
For me, it was something that just caught my eye, not just ordinary run-of-the-mill stuff. And if you get the time, you get a good view out of the windows.
And how do you stop things from spilling over when the train moves?
It's not a problem for me. I was a chef on a liner, so I've got plenty of experience of cookery in motion.
Yeah, but I think it helps if you only half fill saucepans with boiling water. Even so, they often spill over and you start saying nasty things to yourself about the driver, and it's not usually his fault. Yeah.
Let's just say that you quickly learn not to put things under the grill without keeping an eye on them.
Has either of you had any major disasters?
Well, I'd only been in the job for 3 days and I had this huge roast in the oven. I opened the door, turned around for a moment, distracted, I suppose, and it just flew out. Fortunately, it landed in the sink, so it was okay.
And what qualities would you say it was necessary for a railway chef to have?
From my point of view, dedication and determination. You won't get anywhere without these.
And let's admit it, a sense of humour. There have been times when I would have resigned long ago if I hadn't had that.
And what of the future?
Who knows? Perhaps the first chef on a trip to the moon?
Now that would be a challenge, but somehow I doubt I'll be with you on that one. I'm terrified of flying.
Well now, if you don't mind, we thought our listeners might be interested in the recipes for your prize-winning meals.
That's the end of part 3.